The Joint Hired Committee will come to order. Thank you all so much for taking the time this morning. Today will be very similar to yesterday. We'll be exchanging offers from our House counterparts. We are still awaiting on their counter offers, so we're going to sit tight and go into recess while they deliver that to us. So we'll be in recess to the call of the chair. The Joint Hired Committee will come back to order. Thank you guys so much. The House has prepared their counteroffer for both the spreadsheet and the policy. I'll pass it off to Mr. Savory for the spreadsheet walkthrough.
Chair and members for the tape, Ken Savory, House Fiscal Staff. I'll just walk through the spreadsheet that was just passed out and is probably available in the hallway. There's a timestamp in the right-hand corner of 2:08 p.m. on 5/17/2025. Just for brevity's sake, I'll try to go quickly through just the changes that were made on this particular offer. Starting with the state grant program, the House has reduced its allocation to state grant to $50,968,000 in 26 and 27, and $34,302,000 in the tails. The House has moved up on child care grants to $1 million in 26 and 27 and $1 million in 28 and 29. And there are a number of items which have already been agreed upon. We'll go down to number 15, which is the student teachers and shortage area grants. The House is now aligned with the Senate of a $500,000 savings in 26 and 27 and $500,000 in 28 and 29. Moving down further, line 21 is a change to the Student Parent Support Initiative. The House is now offering a savings of $4 million in 26-27 and $4 million in 28 and 29. And then, Chair and members, that is all for the appropriations for OHE. We'll go to the transfers. And on line 31, the House has made a change to its offer on spinal cord injury and traumatic brain injury research grants. The House is proposing $4 million of savings in 26 and 27 and $5 million of savings in 28 and 29. Additionally, the House is now in agreement with the Senate for dual training grants for legal cannabis employers of a savings of $2 million in 26 and 27 and $2 million in the tails. And then skipping down to Minnesota State, the House has made no changes to its prior offer on Minnesota State. And then the next one will be for the University of Minnesota. It's line number 62. It's for cannabis research. The House is now in alignment with the Senate of a $2 million savings in 26 and 27 and $2 million in 28 and 29. And then moving down to the state grant levers, the House's offer remains the same pending further conversations with the Senate regarding levers.
Thank you. Mr. Hopkins, would you like to go through the policy walkthrough?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, the House offer 3 documents that was passed out. With this new format, if rows have been grayed out, then they are agreed to by the committee. And if rows are in white, then they are still open for negotiation. The first open item on page 3 of the documents, the UMN Mayo Clinic partnership, the House proposal sticks with its original position of the full cut. At the bottom of page 3, K-12 direct admissions, The House offer still has that not included. On page 4, there's a line in white for campus sexual misconduct policy. That should be grayed out. The House is now in agreement with the Senate offer on that item. Turning to page 5, treatment of appropriations. The House agrees to the Senate's proposal for the modification of this item, and also proposes to adjust OHE's appropriations for competitive and legislatively named grant programs to ensure that any amounts reserved for administrative costs for those grant programs will be adjusted to these 10% and 5% parameters if the current law appropriates below that or reserves below that amount for administrative costs. Sticking on page 5, the College Financing Literacy Act, the House offer has that not included. And finally, Mr. Chair and members, all the other open items in this document relate to state grant parameters, which the House proposes to negotiate further on.
Mr. Savory, thank you.
And Chair and members, just as a point of clarity, I failed to mention on line 13, the House is now aligned with the Senate on the Summer Academic Enrichment Program. It's now no change from base.
Thank you, Mr. Savory. Are there any questions or comments from our House members? Seeing none, are there anyone from the audience that would like to testify about any portion of the bill or the agreement?
Yes.
Welcome. Please introduce yourselves for the record, and you may begin.
My name is Joey Carlson, and in 2000, my goal is to speed skate in the 2002 Olympics in Salt Lake City, Utah. I was getting pretty close to that. I had won the national championship, set several records. Unfortunately, on the way to one of my practices, my car was forced off the road by a semi, and I incurred a C5-6 spinal cord injury. My goals completely shifted after that, and I started by going back to college. After college, I got a job. My first job out of school was with Medtronic, and I worked at their neuromodulation division, working on all sorts of cool products. During that time, I was advocating for them to do more research on spinal cord injuries, and that did not always go that well. In 2015, I testified for this committee to pass the first SCI TBI grant bill, and that program has actually done some really great things. Unfortunately, my career at Medtronic ended a little over a year ago, my position was eliminated. A good thing that happened was, thanks to the bill that was passed here, we had a neuromodulation symposium here in Minnesota where I was able to meet some really cool companies. One of the companies that was there was called Onward Medical, and they've been shown to do some really cool things with spinal cord injuries, including bringing function back to patients like me. Along with bringing function to patients like me, they're starting and doing clinical trials there, past their first ever devices, and they're starting to do marketing in the U.S. I worked in marketing, and this past couple of weeks, I've had several job interviews with Onward Medical. And so thanks to this state program, they not only are hoping to bring function to people like me, but they're also bringing jobs to people in Minnesota like me. And hopefully this interview process goes well, and I'll start to get function back in my arms and also get back off of disability into the workforce, which I think would be good for everyone. And so I'm advocating that we keep this funding going at its current level, so we can keep this good progress going. So
thank you so much for your testimony, Mr. Carlson. And Mr. Broderick, you want to include anything?
Or? Yes, thank you. Matthew Roderick from United Toy Paralysis, also parent advocate of a son with a spinal cord injury, same injury as Joey. I wanted to emphasize something just to make sure you heard it. The bill that we passed in Washington State after we passed a bill here in Minnesota in 2015. We passed in 2017, funded the initial clinical trial that led to the pivotal trial that got FDA approval for Onward, which is a company based in Switzerland. That data came from a state-funded program just like this, modeled after Minnesota, which led to FDA approval for the first ever device to restore hand function. I just want to make sure you heard that. I also just wanted to touch on two things, if I might. I'm a little disappointed Senator Duckworth isn't here because I've been thinking about it since a comment he made yesterday. And really simply, I wanted to mention, as a taxpayer and as a director of a nonprofit, national nonprofit, I am very appreciative of fiscal responsibility. But when Senator Duckworth said, we spend too much, I was really curious about the rhetorical use of that spend in this committee, because I think in this committee, you are tasked with investing in Minnesota, and you're investing in the future of Minnesota. And I think that's a very critical thing, because I think that story and the stories that we've been telling all of you are an investment in this future. And all of the people in this room are concerned about the investment in the future of Minnesota's people, which generates an engine, an economic engine in this state. And we're at risk of some of that in this country. Member Robbins, you yesterday mentioned how much you want to see the University of Minnesota and the academic system be a leading edge in the country. And you're concerned about the bloat. We are concerned about the bloat in our community, as I think you remember from my testimony, which is why we crafted the bill that we did and the bills that we have crafted across the country. They are working. And that bloat is, there's no villain here, essentially, is historical. As Joey mentioned, Medtronic has been shuttering R&D for decades and turfing it off to the academic ecosystem. And at the same time, starting in the 70s, we started to cut federal funding to higher education. There's a whole evolution of that, and there are many books written about that, what has happened. And you don't fix that by not investing in that future and investing to assure that Minnesota is a leading edge. And it has become a leading edge in this little corner that we talk about. It's become a worldwide recognized space for spinal cord injury and traumatic brain injury research. That's why we want to keep this funded as it is, and why we as a community crafted very carefully the bill that we did in higher education, not in the Department of Health. Because in the Department of Health, this particular thing that we crafted would die. It would end, because we know, we live in this community, the needs of our community are overwhelming for the Department of Health. They're not met. And so the idea of improving healthcare is wonderful. Transforming it is not going to happen in epidemiology and public health research. It's going to happen in the cutting edge of academic research. And so that's why we do not want it to move to DHS, and we want to keep it funded where it is, because it's a program that is working exactly as the advocates who crafted it told you it would. It is. Therapies are emerging, clinical trials are emerging, early stage companies are emerging, and it is transforming the space for spinal cord injury at a particular moment in history where technology is emerging right now. You could see the 60 Minutes episode on Sunday. If none of you have seen it, I recommend that you watch it. It's about the company in Switzerland that was funded preclinically by a bill that we passed in Washington State. That can happen here. Is happening here, and this is not the time to slow that momentum down. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for our testifiers, for members? Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your testimony, both of you. I am interested in this idea of why this is best housed at OHE. So I guess it's a transfer, but I would like your further thoughts on whether OHE is really the best, maybe somehow the School of Public Health or some other entity of research at the U, or perhaps Mayo or some other partnership, but it just seems so out of sync with the Office of Higher Education as a grant administrator. And I wasn't here in 2015, so I don't understand all the history. So I would just like to better understand that, because I think as a committee, we are concerned about this being the best long-term home for this program.
Mr. Broderick.
From my experience, so I'm currently, for the last year and the rest of this year, the chair of the advisory council at OHE for the SCI-TBI research grant program. It's a rotating process. I've been on the advisory council since its inception, so I know its inner workings and the way it's been structured and the way it functions. And I'll reiterate what I said. If you look at the mission of the Department of Health, it is to improve the health of all Minnesotans and essentially rooted in the delivery of care, improving the current delivery of care for Minnesotans. And if you look at some of what they do in public health and epidemiology and even prevention, which for spinal cord injury is kind of an absurdity. Anyone can walk out this door and get into their car and have a spinal cord injury in the next 5 minutes. Prevention is not really an issue for spinal cord injury. The mandate is different. In OHE, I'll give you one other example. We have, as I mentioned before, we have passed bills in multiple states. Ohio, Pennsylvania, Washington, Minnesota, we are very close to passing in Wisconsin. The one place where we pass in the Department of Health is in Pennsylvania, and it is not working. And it's not working because what you start to see is a creep of how do we improve the delivery of care for spinal cord injury, traumatic spinal cord injury, when the length of stay for a person with spinal cord injury is decreasing because of the changes in health insurance. And so you're fighting an uphill battle that our community is losing. I've lived through the underbelly of healthcare with my son as a quadriplegic. The mandate is so different to improve care and so overwhelming that the idea of looking at a novel device or a novel treatment that's on the cutting edge, which is happening in higher education academic systems. That's where OHE has this sort of dispassionate oversight in how this functions, whereas the Department of Health doesn't, because the needs are overwhelming, not just for people with SCI and TBI, but all of our citizenry. And that's why I think we need to stay out of there, because of the different mandates. And it has been working exceptionally well. As I mentioned, I'll reiterate it again, exactly as we described, exactly what it's catalyzing and the return on investment, which is this other piece of, I didn't mention it earlier about Senator Duckworth's comments. We have told you between 5 and 8 to 1, this is not money going into the ether. This is 5 to 1, 8 to 1 return on investment back from private and public federal funds. So the money is coming back in buckets into this area, and it's fueling positions, jobs. Joey's story is a kind of tangential one that's international as a result of this program.
Thank you, Mr. Broderick. Any other following comments from members? Seeing none, thank you both for coming up to speak. Thank you. Are there any other members from the audience that would like to come up and speak? Seeing none, I want to thank our House counterparts for putting together this offer. We're going to take it back and review and then put together something as well and come back after recess. So I want to thank you all so much. And with that, we will go into recess.